We are on the hunt for some low-owned two-start pitchers this week, and let me tell you what, we've got a few options in our sights that'll help you put some meat on the table, and we've identified another one that might leave you feeling just a little bit hungry.
It's about that time.
Stoned on Sports.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you're doing great. You are tuned in to the 111th ranked sports podcast, according to Apple Podcasts, in the country of Denmark. That's right.
Hell yeah.
The Stoned on Sports podcast. My name is Matt. Got Kyle here with me today, coming along for the two-start pitcher ride. Kyle, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Hopefully everyone else is doing great. Ready to hear some two-start pitcher advice for week eight. Want to let you know the full rankings are on the website for two starts for week eight at the StonedOnSportsPodcast.com website. I'll throw the link there in the live chat there so you guys can check it out. It'll also be a pinned comment on the comments after this is fully published. Two-start pitchers. We got to ask that question, right?
Mm-hmm.
To start or not to start? And we are going to start with Christopher Sanchez of the Philadelphia Phillies. He's a little bit higher than we usually will talk about. He is 60% owned on Yahoo, but still low enough owned to talk about here on our program today. He's got to start Monday the 13th at the Mets and then Saturday, May 18th at home versus the Nationals. He's not been super great. He's been solid. He's about the 80th best starting pitcher in fantasy so far, averaging almost 10 points per outing. His last start he had versus Toronto on Monday was excellent. He got the win and the quality start, went 7 full innings, allowed 6 hits, 1 earned run, just 2 walks and 5 Ks. That puts him on the season 7 games. He's 2-3 overall and 36 and a third innings pitched. A 3.22 ERA, so not pretty bad there. The whip is a bit high at 1.46, but he does have 3 quality starts so far out of the 7 outings. And he's lasted at least 5 innings in 5 of his starts. You really like to see that staying out there long to gain you guys some more points in fantasy land. Strikeout rate is a bit below average at 21.4. He's really been all over the place with strikeout percentage in his career so far, but we'll see. Even in this season, for sure. Had 2 games with just 1, but had a game on the 17th where he threw 10 Ks. That's an 8.429 K per 9, so that's pretty nice. Walk rate is a little below average. It's high at 9.4. 3 of those 7 starts, he did allow 3 walks. He will right the ship with the walks, folks. He's a career 7% walk rate, and he was very, very low last year at 4% in 99 innings pitched. So not just a small sample size, something that you can really sink your teeth in there. He keeps the ball in the ballpark. I really like that. Just 1 homer allowed, .25 home run per 9. He's improved on that from last season where he was 1.45 home runs per 9. So nice in improvement. BABIP bit high at .339, suggesting some bad luck, some occasional bad defense behind him. You know, it does kind of happen, and it's kind of surprising that his BABIP is not a bit lower considering his ground ball rate. He's always been a good ground ball pitcher, but this dude is inducing ground balls at a very high rate of 61.8%. That's good for top 3% in the league, and that's 3.5% higher than his career norm. You really like to see that. You can be very successful in Major League Baseball if you can sustain those percentages. Launch angle really helps too. Last year he was very good, averaging 3.9 degrees of lift, so not very much. I think the average is about 12. This year I had to do a double take, refresh the screen, look at another website to make sure what I was looking at. He is at an exceptional 0.7 degrees launch angle. That's insane. You're making major league hitters look like little leaguers, with that 0.7. Does an average job of getting hitters to chase, but his whiff rates are below average. They could be better. You look at his pitch mix, he's just a sinker, changeup, slider guy. Doesn't really throw a fastball at all. However, the sinker does average 94 miles an hour, so some speed with that and some movement. gets great whiffs on his changeup and slider, but struggles getting hitters to whiff on his sinker, which it's his primary pitch. He throws it just shy of 50% of the time. Exit velo is just about average. Hard hit and barrel rates are well above average. It's no wonder he doesn't allow much hard contact with a true fastball pitch. I like him for next week. Moving on to his matchups, both the Mets and the Nationals are in the bottom 10 teams in hard hit rate. So I think that's really going to work out well for Christopher Sanchez in those matchups. The Mets and Nationals are both in the bottom half in batting average, on base percentage, slugging, and exit velocity. And they're both in the bottom 15 teams in runs scored too. Citi Field for the Mets play, it's a pitcher's park. It'll skew a little bit more towards hitters as the weather warms up. National, it's a top six park for hitters. Okay. I'm not just really worried about it though, with the way Sanchez limits hard contact and that extremely low ground ball rate. Run him out there with confidence in week eight.
Oh, for sure. And the Phillies have been just scorching hot lately. Even so, he's gotten three or fewer runs of support in four of his seven starts, which is just mind blowing when you think about the lineup that the Phillies run out there. His whiff rate and swinging strike rate are both down a couple points year over year. Not really a cause for concern. His chase rate's down about 5 points. His first pitch strike percentage is down about 4 points. Mm. Still, again, I'm not worried when you have a ground ball rate approaching 62%. I mean, good Lord. You know, he's limiting the hard contact. His barrel rate is half of MLB average. You look at his ERA, it's in line with all of his expected stats. And I like how year over year he saw an increase in his ground ball rate, which was already fantastic.
Yeah, yes, it was.
You know, he found a way to improve there. And just kind of, you know, looking at his pitches, he has two pitches with 17 inches or more of horizontal break. And just to give you a frame of reference, home plate is 17 inches wide.
Yeah, that's some good break. That's some good movement.
Yeah, it is. He's definitely a good one for next week if you can get him. You know, like you said, he's available in about 40% of leagues, and I saw that you picked him up in our home league there, Kyle. So congratulations, buddy.
I did. I'm going to start him. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and roll him out there for week eight. You should too.
All right. So we're going to talk about somebody now. He's struggled a bit, but looking a little bit deeper, things aren't as bad as they seem. And that is Aaron Civale of the Tampa Bay Rays. He has starts at Boston and at Toronto. Both of those teams are bottom three in home runs, bottom half in runs over the past 15 days. The Blue Jays aren't really striking out a whole lot, but Boston sure does. Both teams are going to draw a walk. Boston's getting on base, but they're not really doing much with it. And quite frankly, Toronto's just kind of been on the struggle bus. And when it comes to the Red Sox, outside of Devers, O'Neill, and maybe Duran, there's not really a whole lot in that lineup that I'm worried about. Looking at Savali's season so far, in 8 games started, he's got a 2-3 record, a 5.88 ERA, a 1.35 WHIP. He's allowed 8 home runs, but he only has 5 expected home runs, according to StatCast. So there's a bit of bad luck there. He struck out 43 and walked 12 across 41 and a third innings pitched. He's had a rough go of it as of late. He's not getting ahead early in the count. But when he does, hitters have just a 194 average against him after an 0-1 count. So for him, getting that first pitch strike is paramount to his success. He is striking out more guys than he ever has before. Right now he's striking out just under 9.5 per 9. And that really started after he came over from Cleveland to the Rays last season. In 10 games started with the Rays last season, he had 11.5 K per 9. So they've found something in him. And look, dude's been unlucky so far. He's got that 5.88 ERA. He's got a 3.61 xFIP and a 3.99 expected ERA. So we're talking about essentially 2 runs lower than where he's sitting. He's also been hurt by just a 62.5% strand rate. And his ground ball rate is down 9% from last season. He's got a well better than average 6.7% walk rate and a 30.9% chase rate. He has gotten some support, which is surprising because I think we've talked quite a bit just how Tampa Bay is struggling this season. But in five of his seven starts, he's gotten four or more runs of support. And, you know, over the past, we'll call it week, the Rays offense is starting to come alive. And that's kind of coincided with DeLuca getting there and Josh Lowe coming back. Rosarena is showing some signs of life. They're actually sixth in runs in the MLB in the last 7 days. He works off his cutter and it's getting hit because it's relatively flat.
Yeah.
He added a sweeper that's okay, I guess. He's got a better than average swinging strike rate though at 10.3% and a 30.5% call plus swinging strikes. Again, the key for him is going to be to get ahead early in the count, be efficient with his pitches, and work on staying low in the zone, because dude has just four ground balls combined the past two games. That's not a recipe for a win.
No, it's not.
And just for a little added extra motivation, he's a dude that could be pitching to try and save his spot in the rotation with Shane Baz coming back, and Pepio isn't expected to be out all that long. So really for him, it's kind of put up or shut up or time. And I'll take the chance on him putting up at least for these two starts.
Yeah. We could maybe see him start to look like his first four outings. He had a trio of quality starts there, put together a nice 2.74 ERA. Did allow five homers in that same stretch of 23 innings, but opponents were just batting 200 against him, and he had 26 strikeouts and just four walks. So look for him to get back. It's a good, even though they're on the road, those are good matchups against some, so far this year, weak offensive teams. All right, next up we got a guy. He's been climbing up the ads list in fantasy leagues, and this is Gavin Stone with the LA Dodgers. He is currently 41% owned on Yahoo, but he's gained 15% in the last day. So those people out in points leagues are starting to grab him and noticing about these two starts next week that line up to be pretty good. He broke camp as the fifth starter for the Dodgers this season due to some injuries and stuff. He is their number one pitching prospect, so he is a good dude. He's got to start Tuesday the 14th at San Francisco and Sunday May 19th for at home versus Cincinnati. So far this season, he's 7 games pitched. He's 3-1, 38 innings pitched, 3.55 ERA. The whip's a little high, but not horrible at 1.26. For the third consecutive start, he's looked like a totally different pitcher than the early season. He lasted 6 or more innings in 3 straight starts and 4 of his last 5. He's allowed just a total of 7 earned runs during that time and no more than 2 in any start. 4 of 7 of those outings, quality starts with those wins, quality starts. This is extra fantasy points for you guys there. It's very important, and it's nice to see, especially because the strikeout rate's not good right now. It's 17.1. That's way too low, but he has improved it over 2.5% from last season. He was up a handful of games last season, I think about 8 or 9, not many. So not a huge sample size, but an improvement nonetheless. Walk rates average at 8.2. He did have a couple early games in the season where he issued 3 walks and 5 and another. But since then, in his last 3 starts, just issued 2 or less. So he seems to be getting some things under control as well. You like to see these improvements, especially just in season, especially early in season improvements. I really like it. Yesterday's game, Wednesday, May 8th, the Marlins, he didn't walk anyone. It's nice. He went 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned, 4 Ks, those 0 walks, got the win, quality start. He retired the first 8 batters he faced. He looked really damn good. I watched some video of him earlier today. Does a great job at limiting hard contact. Hard hit rate, exit velo, both rank in the top 20% in the league. Barrel rate is very good too at 5.9, good for top third in the league. And also, he's improved on all those metrics year over year. I'll mention it again, you love to see these improvements and adjustments in the early season. Average whiff rate overall is his whiff rate is average overall, but does get batters to chase over 31% of the time. He does this with a devastating changeup. It's his primary pitch. It's thrown just 86 miles an hour, but he gets batters to whiff on that pitch over 37% of the time, striking them out at 27.7% of the time, while allowing a very low batting average against of 140. Gets ahead in the count too, which I can't stress how important that is for a young pitcher. I can't remember his age right now, but he's young. By throwing first pitch strike 64.6% of the time, that's almost 4% higher than league average. A lot of things to like about this kid. He's probably going to lose his spot when some pitchers come back there for the Dodgers, but maybe he'll be able to stay around. But right now, next week for week 8, he's got a matchup versus the Giants at the Giants, I should say. It's at Oracle. That's a pitcher's park. The Giants in the last 7 days, good, but not great. So they strike out quite a bit in the last week. They're the third most. They're mid-pack in walks. They're the 10th best in on-base percentage in the last week, but with Stone swing and miss, with that changeup, I still really love that matchup. And then the start versus the Reds at home, that's the middle of the pack. Dodger Stadium's kind of middle of the pack when it comes to park factors. It does skew a little bit more towards the hitter's park, but the Reds have cooled off dramatically. They lost CES. They are in dead last in runs scored in the last week, which is seven runs. That's it. They're last in batting average, last in on-base percentage. And I really think Gavin Stone, he's just continuing to build confidence on the mound. And, you know, I'm confident in his ability. I think Matt could agree to at least get you a combined 45 points next week with these matchup. And this is a guy that you're not going to hang on too long. Like I just mentioned, Bobby Miller is going to be back shortly. He's on a rehab assignment here, hopefully in the next few days. So, you know, Stone can only have a couple more go arounds in the rotation. So not a guy you're holding on to, but follow him just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been impressive. I wasn't expecting him to pitch as well as he has. And look, the offense has been helping him out. 5 of his 7 games have given him 4 or more runs of support, and he's averaging 5 runs per game. And you look at his ERA, right? In points leagues, we really don't care about ERA.
Yeah.
That's more than respectable at 3.5. His FIP and XFIP back it up. You know, he's got good chase rate, good whiff rate, good swinging strike rate. So even though his strikeout rate is low at just 17%, I think as he matures as a pitcher, you're going to see that increase. I think he can end up someone better than average, just kind of based on his stuff. And I absolutely love that changeup with a 140 average against and a 184 expected average. That's a nice damn pitch.
It is. I watched a few today. I'm like, wow.
All right. So I don't think we've talked about this next dude yet. Jose Buto of the New York Mets. He has starts against Philly and at Miami. Actually, surprisingly enough, both teams are hitting fairly well as of late. Philly strike out a lot, but they can also be patient at the plate. Miami does not draw walks, right? The stadiums are going to help out with both of these matchups, both at Citi Field and whatever the hell it's called down in Miami, that cavernous damn place. Across 6 starts this season, he's 1-2 with an ERA of 3.00. His FIP and XFIP are about a run higher, a 1.15 whip, 34 strikeouts, 17 walks. He's given up 3 home runs and 33 innings pitched. He's gotten 2 or fewer runs of support in 4 of 6 games. He's pitched 5 or more innings in 5 out of 6, and he's gotten 10 or more swinging strikes in 4 out of 6. He's got a nice 81.5% strand rate, well above average. He comes in with about an average ground ball rate, and so far so good, right? Well, walks are the issue. He's walking 12%, actually 12.6% of batters. That's good for 4.64 walks per 9. We generally want to see people below 3. So when you're at 4.5, that's kind of a red flag. But that's not really a surprise when you only throw strikes 56% of the time. Despite all that, His overall contact rate and zone contact rate are both below average. He's got some nice swing and miss to him. He's striking out a little over 25% of batters, good for 9.2 K per nine. Anything more than nine, I'm happy with. His hard contact, though, it's higher than what you want to see. His exit velocity is okay at 88.7, but his barrel rate and hard hit rate are both well below average. I do love the increased sinker usage out of him. It went from 5% to 24%, and I'd like to see even a little bit more than that just to help him increase his ground ball rate. The big issue, though, overall with him is a lack of horizontal movement. And looking at these two starts, we'll call it a daily league special. If I can skip the start against the Phillies and just take the one against the Marlins, that would be my preference. But then again, considering how he'll go out there and throw you 5-6 innings, if you're looking for just kind of an innings eater for the week and hoping for something decent, you could certainly do a lot less than him. Worse, whatever. You know what I mean, folks. There are shittier options than Jose Buto.
There are. I like his changeup and slider, especially his changeup. Whiff rate of 33%, batting average against of just 200 flat. And a good changeup from a right-handed pitcher is pretty rare because it is hard to get righties out with it as well. He's a player that just did not have a high ceiling, but he worked his buto off, so to speak, the last 2 years to raise his ceiling. You like what I did there? To raise his ceiling. Before that, he was just a two-pitch pitcher with a great changeup and a below-average fastball, but he really worked over the last couple of years, increasing his fastball command, and now it grades as an average pitch. And that improved command, it's really helped with his walk rate, and it's improved his strikeout rate. And I like that he works fast, and he does attack the zone. He's going to tear up the Marlins.
Yep, he sure is. We got James in the chat. Got a question. Roto League, which SP would you pick up that are available on the wire? Zach Eflin, Ronel Blanco, Braxton Garrett, Grayson Rodriguez, and Kyle Bradish. Well, the answer for me is quite obvious, but I'm curious what you have to say, Kyle.
I want both of those Orioles pitchers just because of the offense they're in. They're very good fantasy starters and real life starters for that matter. I would look to grab one of those two fellas.
Yep, and I'm thinking along the same lines. I'm going to take Grayson over Bradish just because I understand Bradish has worked his way back, but the elbow is kind of scary, and you don't really have that concern with Grayson. You know, he's got mid to back end SP1 upside.
Yeah. Hopefully that helped you, James. Grab him if you can. Be a good get. Don't be dropping Logan Webb, though. Keep him, too. Oh, right, I'm buddy. Next. Sorry. Yes, sorry, guys.
Sure are.
I'm next. All right. Next, we got Milwaukee Brewers pitcher Colin Ray. He is just 15% owned. Remember, we're talking about low owned starters who can give you some help with two starts in week 8. 15% owned, up 3% in the last day. He has a start Monday the 13th home against Pittsburgh, and then the following Sunday, the 19th at Houston. In 7 games started this season, he's 3-0, 38 and a third innings pitched, a nice ERA of 3.29, WHIP is 1.28. He's got two quality starts so far on the year. He did just struggle on this past Tuesday, the 7th, through 4 2/3 innings. It did allow 4 earned runs on 7 hits and 1 walk while just striking out 2 in a no decision. He has gone at least 5 innings in 6 of his 7 starts and 6 innings in 3 out of 7 outings. So you like to see that. There's some innings there that he can hang in the games and get some extra points that way. Strikeout rate, it's not good. Okay, it's 15%, bottom 10% in the league among pitchers. Walk rate, excellent, 7.2. It's good for the best top third of pitchers. Hard hit rate is above average, but he did make a almost 6% improvement year over year so far, but is below average in exit velocity and barrel rate. With his barrels ranking in the bottom 13% of the league. There's not too much to love about his swing and miss. He's in the bottom 11%. Whiff rate is low at 17.9. He was much higher last year, so suggesting some improvements are on the way. been a little bit vulnerable with the home runs. He has allowed 5 so far this year, but you really love his high left on base percentage at 81.4. It's almost 9% improvement over last year. You know, getting out of those, high leverage situations, it's a skill. This guy's a veteran. He's 33. He's been in the league for a while, not necessarily as a starter, but it allows you to stay in games longer. Theoretically, you're going to get more fantasy points for that. Importantly, hopefully not get any negative points. Last season, he stepped up, took regular turns in the rotation due to some injuries there in Milwaukee. He went 6-6 with a 4.55 earned run average in 26 games, starting 22 of them. Set career highs in starts, wins, innings, strikeouts with 110, and recorded a very solid whip of 119. Look, no guy is perfect, all right? He's a slight desperation start. I'm not going full desperation on it, but he's got a lower than average strikeout rate. Yeah, the whip's a bit high, but he has the ability to eat some innings. Those are fantasy points. He's a vet. He's good at getting out of jams, and it helps that the offense that he is in can score some runs, allowing for, some wins and or quality starts. It's not bad. You can certainly do worse. We'll talk about him in a moment.
You got that right. And look, I look at Colin Ray and I look at that offense and I see that start against Pittsburgh and I think, damn, that pirate ship has run aground now. They have come hurtling back down to earth. Houston is they've been struggling all year. Yeah. The 3.29 ERA looks nice, and then you look at the FIP and XFIP that's a little bit higher. I do like that he's working a little bit deeper into games. Like you mentioned, 5+ innings pitched in 6 out of 7, 3 or fewer earned runs in 5 out of 7.
Yeah.
Considering who the guy is, right? I think as long as you keep your expectations in line with reality and understand this guy is not going to go out there and get you 60 points next week, but he can get you 30.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. You're looking for innings from him and you're looking for some run support from the offense to help get you there. But they are certainly more than capable of doing that.
Absolutely.
So this dude, I don't understand how he is only 16% owned in Yahoo leagues.
He's 20 now.
Oh, well, still. You want to take that off of there so I can.
Yep.
Thanks for paying attention.
Yep.
Talking about Trevor Williams of the Washington Nationals. There you go. Now you can put the banner up there.
Thanks, bud.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for playing.
I'm new here.
So he has a start at the White Sox and at the Phillies. Again, I don't need to tell you what the Phillies offense is. I don't need to tell you what the White Sox are either. In 7 games started, he's 4-0, got a sparkling 1.96 ERA. XFIP is at 3.8, so expect some regression coming there, but I don't necessarily know it'll be this week. A 1.06 whip, he struck out 30 batters, walked 12, has not given up a home run in 36 2/3 innings pitched, and that 0 home runs is huge because he allowed the most in the league last year. So that is quite the damn turnaround. His strikeout rate is up a few points season over season. It's just 21.1%, 7.4 K per 9. That's lower than what we want to see things, right? He gives up roughly in an average amount of hard contact. He's got an average chase rate, a very low 19.8% whiff rate. That's in the bottom 15% of the league. His walk rate's around league average. He walks just a hair under 3 per 9. His hits per 9, though, is outstanding at 6.6. But this isn't the pitcher that we saw earlier in his career in Pittsburgh and over the last couple of years. And it makes me wonder, like, all right, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
Well, his ground ball rate is up 10 points to 49%. He throws 5 pitches. 4 of them never cross the plate in the top half of the zone. He has 4 pitches with a ground ball rate over 45%, and 2 of them, his sinker and slider, have ground ball rates over 60%. And then you look at his sinker and his sweeper, they have exit velocities in the 83-mile-an-hour range. There was a deployment change He's throwing his four seamer less. His sweeper is way up. He threw it 2.8% of the time last year. It's at 17.9% this season. He added it last year and it was relatively ineffective, but not this season though.
Yeah. It's great.
It's got a 167 average against, a 139 expected average, a 222 slug with a 279 expected slug, and a 41.2% whiff rate. That is outstanding. And then you look at
it's his put away pitch.
Yep. His four seamer, it's in the bottom 2% in velocity, but he places it well. He moves it in and out, up and down. And look, I don't usually buy into ninth year breakouts from 32-year-old pitchers. So regression is on the way overall. But for this week, especially against the White Sox, I'm in. And then his start next week is against Seattle, who cannot but help themselves and strike out all the damn time. Just look what Pablo Lopez did to him today. And then he's got Atlanta for 2 out of 3. So he's got legs for the next, you know, we'll call it next 3 starts.
Yep. Agreed. And he's on a bit of a pitch count. All right. So the Nationals seem determined to keep him limited to roughly 80 pitches. And that's what he's been so far, 80.4 per start. Matt mentioned the White Sox. That start is a beaut, right? You love it. I guess since he's on that pitch count there of 80, I guess I'm less worried about the Philly start more than I normally would. If he can start like he did versus the Orioles on Tuesday, where he took down the first 15 batters he faced, then, you know, he'll get pulled roughly before he gets to the Phillies lineup, you know, the third time, or maybe right in the middle of it. And I think that will save him. if Washington can score some ones, get him a win. But he did face Philly last year in August, and it was not very good. got the loss, 8 hits, 6 earned, 3 homers allowed. So maybe he can go in there and have a revenge game as well.
Nice.
What do we got? I think James has got a question.
Yep, he does. You want to pop that up there?
Sure will. James, one last time. Recently traded for Fernando Tatis Jr. And what are your thoughts if the addition of Luis Arraez will boast Tatis' season-long performance? Great show. Thanks for answering all the questions. That's what we're here for, man. How do you feel about that, Matt?
Absolutely. I mean, Luis Arraez is an on-base machine. If you've always got ducks on the pond when you come up to bat, that's only going to increase Tatis' ability to produce runs there.
Great question. And we got Kelsey in the chat. How you doing? Thanks for stopping by. Appreciate your support. If you haven't liked or subscribed already, please do. Here every Tuesday and Thursday on YouTube at 7 p.m. Eastern. Okay, next up. One more pitcher that we like, but this is super, super duper desperation play, okay? And, you know, it may not even happen anyway, okay? He's the number 3 prospect in the Astros system. He's just owned 1%. Like I said, desperation. He's scheduled for these 2 starts, one Monday, the 13th, home against Oakland, and then Saturday, the 18th, home against the Brewers. However, warning. Christian Javier is coming back this weekend to face our Tigers, I should say, and he might push Arrigetti back to the minors. There's also a chance Hunter Shitty Brown will be forced from the rotation. I don't know. So make sure you check this weekend to what shakes out with that. Arrigetti so far, I watched him pitch the other day, and there's some things to like about him. There really is. In 5 games started, he is 0-4, 21 and a third innings pitched. His ERA is outrageous at 8.44, and his whip is equally outrageous at 2.02. I said desperation, right? But last year in AA and AAA, he pitched 124 innings, went 9-7 in 21 combined starts between the two levels, had 141 strikeouts. Again, that's you know, minors, but still you can see that, you know, he's a competitor. 2 starts ago on the May 2nd, he posted his best career start, just allowed 2 runs on 5.2 innings with 3 walks and 6 Ks against the Guardians. And then yesterday, Wednesday the 8th, took the loss against the Yankees. Pitched 5 innings, allowed 5 runs on 8 hits, 3 walks while striking out just 4. It's the Yankees, right? Okay, hell, even Verlander got flogged by them the day before, right? poop happens, right? Strikeout rate is nice. It's above average at 23.6. His walk rate, 12.3. It's way too high. It places him in the bottom 17% in the league. Average whiff rate, 28.1. Good for top third in baseball. He gets the best whiffs versus his breaking stuff. His sweeper and curve are nice, with the sweeper generating whiffs at a very high 42.3%. It's really his most confident pitch, especially against right-handed hitters in the box. That curveball, his curveball strikes out batters a whopping 47% of the time. So his breaking stuff is kind of nice. Does allow less than average contact in the zone, thanks to some of that breaking stuff. Just a 75.5% contact rate, 6.5% less than Major League Baseball norms. So does allow more than average contact when hitters chase, okay? But it's not really that much different from his average so far. Ground ball rate is not very good at all, 35.8. He's 9% less than league average. So ball starts coming home. They're at Minute Maid. That's pretty neutral for park factors there. And I know Oakland has been hot in lately in terms of production, but this isn't the 2002 Billy Beane Moneyball Oakland Athletics, all right? This is a team that still lost four out of their last five games. And the Brewers, last 7 days, they've also lost four out of the last five. They're mid-pack in OBP, bottom 10 in both runs scored and batting average, and have the fourth most strikeouts in the last week. But yeah, you're desperate. Just remember to check on what happens with the rotation with Javier in case Arrieta gets sent down or misses those starts.
Yeah. Look, the ERA approaching 8.5 looks bad, right? No, that's because it is. But he's got an xFIP of half of that. So he's not pitched as bad as the results have shown. And, you know, you talked about the tough matchups, Atlanta, the Cubs, Cleveland, New York. Like, I mean, the dude needs to catch a break. His hard contact, roughly about average, but it certainly doesn't support the comically high 413 BABIP. And you know, the team's not doing him many favors with the 62.5% strand rate, right? That's just too many guys that get on base coming around to score.
Yeah.
You know, he's that desperation play. You like the Oakland start. It's a good park. They've been a little bit better as of late, but you would think, at least on paper, that the Astros should be able to go in there and win that one if he can keep them in the game. Yeah, desperation. Just get me some innings and understand, if we're talking about this guy, the other options that are out there are even worse.
Yeah.
So, top of the show.
Kelsey.
At the top of the show, we were on the hunt for some low-owned two-start pitchers that are going to help you out, and there was one that was higher-owned that isn't going to help you. And for once, I am happy to talk about a Cleveland Guardian.
Absolutely.
And that is Tanner Bibee. And look at him there. He looks like a damn psycho in that picture. He has starts at Texas and versus Minnesota. And if you haven't heard, and you know, if you haven't, I'm sure Dubo will happily tell you, Minnesota's been on fire.
Yes, they
have. Over the past 15 days, the Twins are first in runs, hits, RBI, doubles, average, slugging. They're second in OPS, fourth in on base, fifth in home runs, and seventh in walks and steals. Yeah. That's pretty damn good.
It is.
On the season, he started 8 games. He's 2-1 with a 4.91 ERA. XFIP's about a run lower. A 1.36 whip, 44 strikeouts, just 13 walks. He's given up 6 home runs across 40 and a third innings pitched. He has more games with 10 or more runs of support, 2 of them, than games under 4 runs of support, just 1. The Twins, and this is something I saw earlier today, they have 5 qualified hitters with an OPS over 1,000, which is just damn ridiculous. But you look at Bibee, he's got a nice 25.3% strikeout rate, just under 10K per 9. His 27.9% whiff rate's in the top third of the league. A very solid 11.6 swinging strike rate. not walking a whole lot either. 7.5%, 2.9 per nine. He has failed to go more than five innings in four of his six starts. In those six starts, given up 18 earned runs and five home runs in just 31 innings pitched. He allowed four earned runs on five hits with five strikeouts in just four innings yesterday against Detroit. His hard hit percentage and his exit velocity are both before average. His 11.3% barrel rate is in the bottom 10% of the league. His BABIP is a little high. Strand rate is around average. But teams have been teeing off on his four-seamer. 429 average against, including a 363 expected batting average. 10 extra base hits, including three home runs. Like, look, the dude's a good young pitcher, but not so much this week.
No. No, he's been on the decline, right? His xWOBA started very high. He was above league average a month ago. And since about April 20th, he's just steadily dropped at or mostly below league average. All I'm going to say is don't start him. Given the volatility in his performances, he remains a risky play for lineups in week eight. I'm going to keep it simple.
Way to go, stupid.
Thanks. All right, so that's up for two start pitchers. We got four waiver targets for you, too. Some good ones, too, I believe. First one we have is first baseman outfielder Ryan O'Hearn for the Baltimore Orioles. He's just 28% owned in Yahoo. 25 games played so far. He's got 23 hits in 89 plate appearances, three doubles, a triple, five homers. You love seeing that. 11 RBIs, 13 runs, 10 walks. 9 Ks. You really love to see that. He's slashing 291, 371, 544, OPS of 915. It's excellent. He just came off a six-game hit streak that just got snapped earlier this week. You just really have to love his eye at the plate and his walk and strikeout rates. That strikeout rate is at 10%, 10.1. Excellent. Top 3% in the league among hitters. And the walk rate is also very excellent as well. 11-2, top 25% of hitters. His Statcast, looking at that, you pull it up, and I know what Matt did today as soon as he saw it. It's very red. It's very good. If y'all have seen the movie The Shining, specifically the elevator scene where blood is just cascading down everywhere, it's like that red. It's red as hell. There is not a percentile ranking where he is ranked below average. His closest to the mean is his hard hit rate at 41.4. But expected batting average, top 3%. Expected slugging, top 1%. Exit, velo, whiff and sweet spots in the 70th percentile. And barrel and chase rates, both in the top 10%. He's a veteran. He's pretty patient. He's helped by an excellent zone contact rate of 90.1. That's 8% higher than league average. And when you're making contact out of 9 out of 10 balls thrown in the strike zone, that's going to lead to excellent outcomes. His 9 extra base hits, I think, are a good representation of that as well. And the data is really showing that he's starting to become a much patient hitter. He is 30 years old now. His first pitch swing rate is down to 20.2. That's 11% less than last season and almost 10% less than league average. What's that tell us? He's waiting for his pitch to hit, right? He's trying to put a good ball into play that's going to be productive, not only for his team, but your fantasy team as well. Looking at his matchups next week versus Toronto and Seattle, he's a lefty, so he's not going to start against any same side pitching, but his schedule next week, there's 6 games total, just faces one lefty. I believe it's Kikuchi on Wednesday versus the Blue Jays. So expect him to start 5 games. And even then, he's pinched hit plenty of times too this year, and done some damage off the bench. So if you were CES, Christian Encarnacion Strand, if you're an owner of him, he just, turned out he had a broken hand. He's lost for 4 to 6 weeks. O'Hearn is a nice replacement, at least for next week. And, you know, more about trying to replace your injured starters, you really have to just sometimes navigate replacing your injured starters on a week-to-week basis, on a game-to-game basis, sometimes if you're in daily leagues. And there's usually just not someone you're going to be able to plug in the whole time your starter's injured. You have to get creative, and sometimes you need to take some risks, and I don't really think starting O'Hearn is a risk. Go and grab him. 28% owned.
Yeah, that's just criminal.
Yeah.
This dude is a almost an MVP candidate type player against right-handed pitchers, right? If he could play 162 games against nothing but righties, holy shit. You talked about his improvement in plate discipline. His strikeout rate is down 12% year over year. He almost tripled his walk rate. Like, that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And you look, he's at the top of the league in his expected stats, despite being just mid-pack in his hard hit rate. He has cooled off just a hair after his scorching start over the last 10 games. But over that period, he still boasts an above average triple slash with more walks than strikeouts, five RBIs, a home run, and a double, and one of the best offenses in the damn league. It's a no-brainer. Yeah, scoop his ass up.
I put your money where your mouth is. I know you picked him up this afternoon as well. So,
yep.
Heck yeah.
So all season long, I've heard people bitch and whine and moan and complain about pitcher injuries and pitchers doing shitty. And I look here and I see this guy, Mr. Reese Olson, available in like 75% of leagues. You know what? If you haven't gone out and picked him up yet, I don't want to hear anything from you whining about your staff and how everyone is hurt. Next week, the dude has a start against Miami. Perfect. The following week is a two-start week, and he has the Royals and Blue Jays. So far this year, he started seven games. He's 0-4, which I get. We'll get to that. He's got an ERA, a 2.5, a 2.75 FIP. His whip, 1.11, 35 strikeouts, 15 walks, zero home runs allowed in 39 1/3 innings. He has allowed more than two earned runs in a start exactly once. He has allowed one or zero earned runs in five straight starts. In those five starts across 29 1/3 innings, he's allowed 17 hits, just five total earned runs, 10 walks, 29 strikeouts, including 59 swinging strikes, good for a 13% swinging strike rate, and that comes out to a 1.53 ERA during that period, a 1.70 average against, just a 2.44 on base against, and a 4.44 OPS, and he's 0-3. He retired the last 14 batters he faced in another fantastic start yesterday. The run support is lacking, obviously. He's gotten three or fewer runs in four of his seven starts, and the most he's gotten is five. But he's got a 57% ground ball rate, which is the top 10% of the league. He's got well above average chase and whiff rates. He gives up his fair share of hard contact. All right. You know, he's not perfect, but the Tigers play good defense and he's helped out by his home ballpark. His slider and changeup have been electric with a 42.3% and a 50.7% whiff rate. That is just nuts. And his breaking and off-speed pitches get just a shit ton of movement across both planes. I understand the Tigers are an okay middling team and the offense leaves a lot to be desired, but if you're somebody out there worried about your ratios or worried about getting quality innings, and you've been somebody who's just scrolled past his ass on the waiver wire for the last 3 weeks, stop being stupid and go get him.
Exactly. Did you talk about his homers? Zero homers. Yeah, zero homers allowed.
There's none to talk
about.
Just
amazing. And you can't blame it on Comerica Park either, because five of the seven starts were on the road. Just really, really like him. Not just homers here speaking. You know, if you're a fantasy manager, you should continue to definitely value him for, you know, roto, like ERA, whip, and his strikeout potential. The wins may come be hard to come by due to that lack of run support. He is 0-4 this season, but and the great matchups, like Matt mentioned, against the Marlins. I love it. Heck yeah.
Yeah, and a two-start week after that.
Yep. Yeah, this is a guy I would hold on to for sure. Absolutely. Next, we got guy's been making the rounds here. He's been a popular pickup as of late. Talking about Josh Smith with the Texas Rangers. He's got eligibility at third base, shortstop, and outfield. 46% rostered, 7% in the last day. He's really been a nice surprise in Josh Jung's absence there with his injury. He's the number 12 fantasy third base eligible player right now. In 38 games played, he's got 33 hits and 132 plate appearances. Dude's got 11 doubles, tied for sixth most with a few five or six other guys. Just amazing. He's got one triple, two homers, 17 RBIs, 21 runs scored, 14 walks, 27 Ks, and throw in a stolen base. He's slashing 295, 402, 464 for an 866 OPS. How is this guy only 46% owned? Strikeout rate is 20.5, nicely below average. Walk rate, 10.6, in the top 30% in the league. In the last 7 out of 10 games, he's recorded a hit. He's really been just a fine fantasy player all around. He bats all over the order, mostly finds himself in the sixth hole. Might find himself batting higher, but he just doesn't hit the ball so hard this season so far. Exit velo, barrels, and hard hit rate are all in the bottom 21% of the league. And his weak percentage really kind of correlates with that as well, being over 3% higher than league average. But I think he makes up for it with a very good eye at the plate, as evidenced by the nice strikeout rate and the great walk rate. His chase and whiff rates are good. They're both rank in the top third of the league. And looking at his batted ball profile, he is excelling at being what I'll call a slap hitter. Okay. So how does a guy get 11 doubles in 38 games? I'm going to tell you. Okay. Slapping line drives, mostly to the right field side. He's a lefty. His line drive rate is very high. He's over 30% on the year. That's 6% higher than his career and 6% higher than MLB average. You might ask, Kyle, he's a lefty. Most of his line drives went to right field. What's his pull percentage at? Great effing question. It's amazing. Pulling it at 49.4% of the time, almost 50 damn percent. That's insane. He's always been above average at it too. That's the thing. He's just getting better at it. Love it. And while he has an above average sprint speed, he's not a burner, per se, but he's so good at base running. He's able to leg out these doubles that might be singles for someone else. Got Cleveland, got the Angels next week. There's 6 games. 2 are against lefties on Friday and Saturday. So if you're going to start him next week, pick him up. In daily leagues, you might want to move him out of the lineup because Ezekiel Duran will probably get the start at third in those games. But looking at some of the game-long data, there's already been a couple times where Smith got the start, sometimes at shortstop, because he's just had the hotter bat than Duran as well. And Josh Jung, he's still a few weeks from returning. Pick him up. Pick him up today. I know Loud Boy did and then dropped him 2 hours later. But don't do that, folks. Pick him up and keep him and ride this hot streak for as long as it lasts or until Jung comes back.
Yes, sir. Again, we talked about this a lot. We like the multi-position eligibility. I like getting a piece of a Rangers lineup that's starting to wake up a bit. And even though he's platooned, he will play against some lefties. You talked about the lack of hard contact, but he still does a good job of limiting his strikeouts and getting on base. And over the past couple of weeks, he's got 9 extra base hits, 6 RBIs, 11 runs scored, getting on base over 40% of the time with an OPS over 1,000 despite that. And he's carrying a 373 BABIP, which typically you'd expect, the hard contact to drive it. Well, that ain't it. What's driving it is his like 31% line drive rate.
Yeah.
And you love the contact skills. You love getting a piece of a nice offense. I fully endorse that.
Absolutely.
And so we got one more waiver wire target. We're going to continue to ride the hot hand that's out there, the Minnesota Twins. Today, it's former Detroit Tiger, Willie Castro. He's got eligibility seemingly everywhere but pitcher and catcher. On the season, he's got a very nice 273, 336, 471 triple slash, an OPS north of 800. He's went yard 3 times, driven in 14. He's stolen 5. and you love the extra base hits for him in points leagues. 9 doubles, 3 triples. He scored 18 runs. He'll hit 6th or 7th against righties, but against lefties, they move him up higher in the order. And he has crushed left-handed pitching this season. Over the last 10 games, he's got a 368, 400, 684 triple slash with an OPS approaching 1100 with a home run, 3 doubles, 3 triples, 5 driven in, 7 scored, and 4 stolen bases. Performances like that will win you weeks. He's outperforming his expected stats. So ride him while he's hot. And look, this dude is a free swinger. It doesn't matter if it's in the zone or out of it. He never sees a pitch that he doesn't like. He's in the bottom half of the league in hard contact. His overall contact rate is right around league average. He's carrying a 370 BABIP right now versus, you know, a 316 average, right? So it's coming down. He stole 33 bases last season, so you know that part of his game is legit, and I don't see any reason why it won't continue this year, provided he keeps getting quality playing time.
Yeah, he's good. Switch hitter. He can really scatter hits all over the field. Bit of a pull hitter, or hell of a pull hitter, I should say, over 45%. Over 8% higher than league average and 10% higher than his career norms. I like him going forward. You know, his ability to contribute significantly in multiple categories, particularly in power and run production, is nice. And he continues to show that, you know, promising mix of power and speed. I think he's a viable option, especially given his ability to impact the fantasy game in various ways.
Hell yes.
Excellent. Grab him if you can. All right. Let's talk about the Listener League. I want to give Loud Boy his rightful due. We didn't have time on Tuesday. The standings
he
are
whooped with your the ass.
let me take that banner off. But yeah, he beat me. He did. He took down the, I was 4-0. Still at the top with, now tied with Seons, BBC. So, interesting. I believe he's up on you already this week, so maybe he can take both co-hosts down in back-to-back weeks. We'll see.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. There's still a few days left in the week.
But this is still a very competitive league. It's early. A lot of things can change, so good luck to everybody. Congratulations for taking me down last week, Loud Boy. Heck yeah. Let's see. He is two spanking team green bastards. Yep. So we'll see what happens. Hope you take him down. I would appreciate it.
It's beginner's luck.
Yep.
Regardless, I'm happy for you though, brother.
Heck yeah. All right. That does it for tonight. Just want to thank everybody for coming in, being active in the live chat, asking your questions. We really appreciate it. If you haven't already, please give us a like and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. We're growing a community here. We just recently hit 300 subscribers. We're on the march to 500 subscribers, and we are not stopping or slowing down. So everybody have a great night. Remember, the week 8 rankings for two-star pitchers is on the website at stonedonsportspodcast.com and available. The podcast is available next day, every Wednesday and Friday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern on Apple, Spotify, and more. So check us out if you prefer to listen to us. Otherwise, everybody have a great night. Appreciate your time. Stay stoned.
Bye-bye.